Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yeah, go on. You're laughing over there to yourself. Good morning, Robert. What do you got for us?
What do you mean? For the first time, scientists have detected a cyclone on the North Pole of Uranus.
See, this is what I'm working with. Immature.
Paddy.
You wouldn't get me.
Paddy, Uranus takes 84 years to orbit the sun. That's right. That's the
last
time.
I thought it was getting smaller.
That Uranus's North Polar region was...
That's a big blow for Uranus, isn't it? Oh, wow.
Pointed at Earth.
Well,
that's right.
So when did this...
But now...
So there's a cyclone on Uranus.
Well, the last time you're...
Seriously, now, got to grow up, see? Honestly.
So I've been using radio telescopes. What's a very large array the past few years as Uranus has slowly revealed more and more of its North Pole.
I tell you what.
There is a cyclone on Uranus.
I tell you what. I tell you what. Watch out for those coconut trees. Now, do they have coconut trees on Uranus? I don't know.
Probably
but
not.
Look, this Indian official has been suspended. What he did, it's not unheard of to go to desperate lengths to retrieve a lost phone, but one man took these efforts to an astonishing level. A government food inspector in India has been suspended after he ordered an entire reservoir with millions of litres of water to be drained when he dropped his Samsung device while taking a selfie.
Oh.
So it took 3 days for Rajesh to find his phone, but then it was so broken and so waterlogged it couldn't be fixed. He dropped his $1,200 phone into the Kerkata Dam in the central
Correct
Indian
pronunciation.
Into the central Indian state of Chhattisgarh. And, and that's what he did. So he couldn't find it. So over several days, they pumped and emptied the
How
roughly
much?
Around 2 million litres of water before another official who had received a complaint turned up to stop him to find his $1,200.
Talk about a futile exercise.
Yeah, I know.
What are you doing, guys? Are we just emptying the dam? What are you doing that for?
I lost my phone.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
G'day, Manly Dave from Greenpoint.
Good morning.
G'day,
good
mate.
Morning. I'm so excited about the Mariners. I'm going to blow my whistle and blow my heart off.
Okay. It's only Tuesday.
What is going wrong with that?
Imagine living next door to that.
Go the Mariners against Melbourne City. Thank you, Manly Dave. We'll leave him there.
That's enough.
Oh, how does the hospital allow that to happen? Thank you, Manly.
He fell out.
See you, mate. See you, buddy.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
We spoke earlier this morning about rubbish gifts that you might be giving. Steve
this
from
is funny.
Wallara.
Good morning, Steve.
Talking about crap presents. Christmas 3 years ago, Dad bought me a packet of heavy-duty cable ties. They come in bloody handy, mate. 2 years ago, he bought me a fire extinguisher for a boat that I don't have but was looking at buying. And last Christmas, he bought me a tarp in case I'm stuck at work in a hailstorm or I can cover my car. My sister and all the grandkids, they seem to get $100 every year. It's hard to hide my excitement unwrapping Dad's presents each year. Up the blues.
Good
my prediction is that Daly Cherry Evans will take from the field with a broken fingernail.
Oh, until that last part,
very good,
very,
Steve.
Very, very good. Yeah, we got Benny from Blue Haven. Good morning, Benny.
Benny.
Hey, boys, how's it going?
Good, mate. What'd you call about?
Speaking of Origin.
Yeah, well, the sky's blue. I heard that Paddy's face has got a bit blue with how tight his tie was earlier.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure, Rob, I heard you talking before that you might be having tomorrow off.
Yeah, maybe.
Mate, if Queensland lose,
I'm
there's
coming.
Be no one in there, so you better come in, mate. Paddy won't be coming in.
Don't if Bring Queensland lose, I don't care if I'm hanging one leg, one arm,
and he's and coming in.
Five teeth. I'm he's coming in.
Well, that's more than he's got now, which is good. So you reckon a Blues win tonight, Benny?
I reckon a big victory tonight, mate. It'll be a cricket score, which is funny because we're actually playing it at a cricket ground.
Oh, there you go.
True that. Thank you,
thanks, Benny. See you, buddy. Before we go, this is great. They tried to say goodbye, but Australia said no. By fan demand, Rock Gods.
Maddie from Long Jetty says on the text line.
All right, don't give it away.
Would it be?
Yes.
What?
Kiss.
What? You just said don't give it away.
I thought you were going to do it before the drum finished.
Well, I was waiting for the drum. That's what a drum roll is. You wait for the drum roll.
Chris Kisserback.
Maddie from Forrest.
He probably read it yesterday.
Said, would it be Kiss?
Kiss Kisserback to say their final goodbye to Australia the only way they can, louder, hotter, and crazier than ever before. Because they had the end of the road world the tour road. Last year.
Yeah.
But this is
this
now.
One's called the.
This is called another one. This is called the final curtain.
Final curtain.
The final curtain. Yeah, and that's
just
Saturday,
larruping on goodbye, larruping it on.
Saturday, 7th of October, Acor Stadium in Sydney. Tickets on sale today, actually.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Mate, huge clash, Rob, on this coming Sunday. Industry Group Stadium, the Roosters taking on the Bulldogs this coming Sunday. And playing for the Roosters, Luke Keary, one of the fan favourites, joins us this morning. Good morning, Luke.
Lukey.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, buddy. You going all right?
Yeah, good, mate. Not too bad. We actually spent a couple of days up on the Central Coast, so
yeah, saw that.
Relaxed.
Saw that on the news on Monday night. How was it?
No, mate, it was awesome. We come up a couple of times a year. You do a footy camp up there, stay at Avoca. So it's become like a bit of a second home for us. We didn't have the best results there at the start, but we're starting to play well there. The boys had a really good game there last year, so hopefully again on Sunday.
That's magic. And Sunday afternoon game, how good is afternoon footy?
Yeah, it's the best, mate. We don't get too many of them being at the Roosters, but, yeah, we're going to enjoy this one, obviously up there too. So hopefully we get nice weather.
Lukey, before we talk about this Sunday's game, will Queensland smash New South Wales, do you reckon?
Please.
It should be a great contest. Honestly, it's yeah, you never know with game one. You never know what's going to happen. Obviously, being in Adelaide kind of evens the keel too. Then the big fellow going down with the calf yesterday. Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
Is that, you know, that's like with Latrell with the calf and bloody with Luke, Luke Cleary, Cleary, getting with Nathan, I should say.
Yeah, with
his bloody sore tooth on there. Oh, come on, New South Wales.
Someone's.
Yeah, you're usually hearing this stuff from Queensland, someone's sick or people are pulling out before games and things like that. So it's all, shoes on the other foot this time, but. Yeah, I think the Blues will be fine.
And for this weekend's game, they're going to have to wait till the State of Origin before they name the players, see who's right and who's okay. But yeah. Providing everything goes all right, James will be back, won't he?
Yeah, we're preparing as if James and Lindsay will play for us. And then I think Teddy's backed up after every Origin the last 3 or 4 years. So he should be fine, barring anything unforeseen that happens. But yeah, we're preparing as if those two boys will play.
Now, you want to watch out. Those Bulldogs have played above expectation on a couple of occasions this year.
Yeah, they've been tough, mate. They've obviously, Serrato's come in there. They're playing a tough brand of footy. They're staying in every contest. But, yeah, we've obviously come off a bit of a tough month. So we've gone back to home, gone back to what we do best. And we know we've got a five-week block here before the next bye. So just want to knuckle down.
Have you got a couple of tough games after the Bulldogs, Luke?
Yeah, I think we played Penrith. We have the Raiders and Manly in there. So we've got a tough month, but we went through a similar patch last year and we come out really good footy team. So we know it's going to be hard, but I think we're ready for it.
Yeah, and that is the thing, you got 27 rounds. It's not, you don't win your grand final on round 14.
Yeah, this has been, since I got here in 2017, we've had a lot of starts like this to a season where we've kind of played some really good footy, played some bad footy, had some good wins, some really bad losses. And then as the season goes, we kind of slowly kick into gear. Obviously, it happened last year thought we came really good at the back end of the year. So we know we've got the cattle there. We've got the troops. Yeah, we're working really hard in the background. We're working hard. We'll put it together hopefully in the next month or two.
Well, mate, all the best. Industry Group Stadium against the Bulldogs on Sunday. New South Wales Cup at 11:30, which is great to see. And 2 o'clock game, absolutely brilliant Sunday afternoon football.
Plenty of kids, plenty of sunshine,
yeah,
hopefully.
That's what it's about.
And great footy to go.
And hopefully you guys get a winner, because I can't stand the Bulldogs fans when they win, seriously. Oh, my mates, they just never shut up.
It's like a Queenslander.
We're looking forward to it. Looking forward. I think we got a fan day there on Saturday too.
Oh, right. Do you know what time that is on?
I don't know.
We'll look it up.
But we're training up at the stadium, so I think it's a bit of a fan day going on there.
And my mate Robbie Campbell from Carryong, he's not a stalker. He just loves the Roosters.
Can't help it.
Just a heads up.
Yeah. Oh, just a heads up.
Never mind the rooster suit either. It's just how he goes about it.
All right, Luke Keary, thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Good on you, Luke.
See you, buddy.
See you, boys. Thanks.
See you, mate. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the
podcast. Tell you where heaven isn't.
Where?
This morning.
Where?
It's not a place on the Pacific Highway near Railway Crescent, is it?
We will talk about that. Benny wants to have a chat to us about that. Yeah. We've already spoken to David Meehan. Oh, look, my concern is, Robert, on that road, is that if you use Pacific Highway, you're travelling southbound and you have to turn into Railway Crescent. Yep. You've got so many factories there. You've got Scholastic. You have got Manor Homes. You've got Australia Post. You've got Sara Lee. And there's a whole lot of houses there that when you're travelling southbound and you're turning, you have to turn right into Railway Crescent. There's going to be a bank of traffic because it'll now have traffic lights there. And if those traffic lights turn green like they did the other Thursday night, for about 5 seconds, you go boom, boom, two cars go across and there's a big bank up. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
Hang on.
Quarter to nine. But no, I wonder, I've got a dilemma.
We weren't going to help you with something, am I?
Oh, yes.
Something else.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Because you know how on Sunday we've got the Roosters playing here at the State Industry Group Stadium. Mm-hmm. They're taking on the Bulldogs. You know, both teams haven't been going that well, but it's still rugby league here. NRL game, 2 o'clock, get home by four. Brilliant. Anyway, I said yes. Someone rang me and said, Do you want to come? Tickets to the box. Of course I did.
Did you get tickets to the box?
Yes.
Just you? Yes.
They're friends of mine.
Okay.
Anyway,
so you're going, so to, taken their box. You're going to sit in a box with la di da di da.
No, I don't know, because it also is my daughter's birthday.
Oh, jeez.
So you've got.
Oh, no.
So you go.
Wish you'd have warned me how tough this was going to be to help you with.
Jeez, I tell you. It's Hannah's birthday. And I forgot.
It's your daughter's birthday.
So I said, because you know when people ring you and say, hey, listen, would you like to come? Yeah, of course they do. Yeah. You don't even think about the dates.
What time are you going to get to the footy?
Well, the footy starts at 2, so you'd have to be there 1:30, free food and drink.
Yep.
So you'd have to be there by 1:30.
And then the game finishes at when? About
4. But Hannah wanted to have a lunch.
Dinner?
Maybe a dinner.
Sunday night.
Oh, no, she wanted to have a lunch. And then she spoke about it last night, and it wasn't until I got the walk to work today, and I went, oh, dinner on Sunday, or lunch on Sunday. Oh.
Hang on, there's a clash.
Yeah, there is a clash. So what do?
Brunch.
Unless, good idea, write that round.
Brunch. And what you got to do is just word up the place that you booked brunch at.
That we've got to be gone by.
And say that we're fully booked for lunch.
Yeah. So you can get out of there by 1 o'clock. Say if you got there at 11, get 11 out at 1.
11 is great for brunch.
See your kids, got to go.
You could even push 10:30.
Okay, 10:30.
For
okay.
a brunch.
Yeah, 10:30. Get out of there by 12:30. So you can see the New South Wales Cup at 11:30. Oh, you're missing a bit of New South Wales Cup.
It want to be a good present from you.
Yeah. So what would you do? Okay, hypothetical. What would you choose?
Well, you do both.
Okay, so just move lunch to brunch.
You can't bin your daughter's birthday.
I wasn't going to.
I can't believe you even suggested you were
going to. I wasn't going to.
I hope she's not listening. Hannah, if you're listening.
No, I wasn't going to.
He wasn't going to bin your birthday.
I wasn't going to bin your birthday.
Not after talking to me anyway.
So we do brunch, then to the footy, and all solved.
Yes.
Oh, you're an ideas man, mate.
Easy.
That's why I got you.
Yep, anytime.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
But it was wild on Friday. Insurance claims hit a record high after Friday's freak hailstorm on the Central Coast, especially on the northern end. And, of course, the southern end of Newcastle copped it. Mark from Guanlin. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Good morning, boys. How are you today?
Not too bad. You went through that storm on Friday.
Yeah, look, Paddy and Rob, I got to tell you now, it was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. I've never seen anything like it. I was actually sitting down and I was having a cup of coffee and I get alerts from Willy Weather, and the alert come up for the weather and it said light to moderate rain starting in approximately 3 to 4 minutes. And the next thing I knew, I walked to the back because I heard these like loud noises hitting onto the metal roof, and there was golf-sized hail that was just starting, and it went for about a good 35 minutes. So it was absolutely scary as hell to be in the house because, you know, windows, it was hitting the windows, bouncing off all sorts of things around the house, and the amount of ice that covered the front lawn, the road, the two cars were damaged, my Pergola atrium's been damaged. Unbelievable.
Mate, at last count, more than 6,000 insurance claims have been made from the Central Coast and the Hunter. That's a lot of claims.
Yeah, mate. Well, I got on pretty well straight away on Friday because I've never had to claim on hail damage for cars or house before because, you know, it's a very, very rare occurrence. And especially in May, you don't expect that to happen. So I'm a little bit dirty with the insurance companies, although it's probably written in the fine print. I'm up for $1,500 excess for the two cars, really for something that I had no control over. And, of course, you have to pay the excess on the house to have the repairs done there. So that's just, I guess, the way it is. But when the insurance companies read out your premium, they suggest to you that you do bump your excess up to try and lower your premium. Well, I've certainly fallen for that trick.
Mate, like, are your cars severely damaged in your house?
Yeah, look, one car's covered in it, although I have insurance, obviously comprehensive insurance, and they say that this paintless dent removal is very successful. So I'm putting all my faith in the fact that hopefully that they can remove the dents. You know what? They'll probably get them out of the car quicker than they'll get the one off my head because I went out in the middle of it. I've got an egg at the top of my head the size of a stupidity to think that I was going to go out there and do something, but I thought, I'm going to have a crack.
Oh,
You copped a crack. Mate, the insurance, like, they come back and you got one event does damage to five different things, and they make you claim three times, don't they? Because one's your home, another one's your contents, another one's your car, and before you know it, you've been bent over for your excess. And they always seem to win somehow, don't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rob. And I never really thought about it. That thanks for cheering me up.
You're welcome.
Oh, Rob, as I said, Rob put an ice cube in a sock and was back in his car. I said, mate, it won't work, buddy. It just won't work.
Especially because I was 50Ks from the storm.
Mate, family pass cheering you up. We're going to send you the Roosters game. Huge NRL clash, Industry Group Stadium, as the Roosters square up against the Bulldogs this coming Sunday. So you can grab the family for a day of rugby league. It's tickets at tickertech.com.au, but you're there, mate. Well done.
Yeah, thanks for that, boys. I really appreciate it. You know, with the lump on the head, my wife's looked into the first aid book and it said apply ice to the wound. So it's too hard to find a bit of ice.
No.
All right, mate.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
I got my whiteboard out with my whiteboard markers for Robert with what we're about to talk about. When someone loves someone, Robert, what happens?
It's a good graph.
Thank you. Because a Senate committee has recommended the federal government increase its support for male contraceptives. The committee found the responsibility of birth control was falling on women due to the lack of male contraceptive options. The only current option for men is to use condoms or undergo a vasectomy. Guilty there.
Well, and neither to me seem too appealing.
Have you not been?
I haven't been. Have you been?
Yep, I've been.
Yeah, so.
Are you about getting?
No,
I'm just asking for a friend.
I would need to take a morning off work.
They recommended No, you wouldn't take a morning off work. You get it done Friday afternoon, you'd be back Monday.
So we booked this in for...
They recommended more research into the availability and development of male contraception,
male
which is
contraceptive
good.
Pill.
I think that's a bloody great idea. I would be doing it.
Plenty of blokes would do it for sure.
Chloe, would you our producer for the next couple of days? Anyway, thank you for your help.
Boys,
would your man take it?
I think he would. Like, I've taken pretty much every contraceptive under the sun.
Mm.
So I think it's his turn. I think it's the boys' turn to step up and have a go if they can.
My wife used to use Implanon. Have you ever used Implanon?
Yeah, I've had the Implamon. That's the one that goes in your arm.
Yeah,
inject it into your arm. I have at the moment the IUD, which sits in your uterus.
Mm.
I've had three different types of pills. There's shots you can get in your bum.
I'll draw this on the white.
Paddy's already decided what he wants.
There's so many options, and they all have massive side effects.
Implanon, is that the correct pronunciation?
Implanon, I think.
Yeah. Kirst had wild effects to that.
Yeah, it made me feel quite depressed, and I was very anxious the entire time I had it.
Yeah,
because the hormones go crazy. Like, you're not meant to have these type of hormones in you. Like, it's not natural.
Yeah.
But then the alternative is just having a natural menstrual cycle. And that's pretty hellish a lot of the time as well. So
I don't think too many blokes would shy away if there was a male pill around.
I think they'd have to. They'd want to get it right so that you knew that you were.
Oh, you wouldn't want mistakes, would you?
Go, hang on. Is it 90% effective? No, it doesn't work. Sorry, got to be 100.
You get that phone call. Hey, you know, are you on the pill? Yeah, I am. Yeah. It's not working. Oh, dear. Oh, geez.
And that's why it's so hard because there's such a high production of sperm.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to quell that than just an egg sitting there.
They're active little buggers.
Sperm.
But, swim for miles.
They get in all the nooks and crannies. Yeah. They really get in there.
I was the best swimmer out of my million or billion.
Were you?
Well, obviously, because I became a human. So were you, Paddy.
But look, if you do
you
want...
had to compete against millions and millions and millions of other little Paddies.
We're all very special for
you. You won
here.
That race.
You're the best version of Paddy that they could be.
Biggest race of your life, brother.
I tell you, the others must have been a disappointment.
Anyway. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Have you ever heard, my car broke down? Sorry, my car broke down.
It has happened.
It is not. That doesn't happen.
I got a flat on the M1 once and I was late.
A flat tyre is a different story.
And my car has broken down. Yes.
Nah. Saturday night I went out with some mates for a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't we tie one on? I hadn't had a great deal of good sleep when the alarm went off.
What time did you get home?
Well, Sunday morning. This isn't about Saturday night. This is about Sunday morning. 6:30.
You got home.
No, I got up.
Oh, you're right. Okay. That's early for when you...
On a Sunday morning.
God, that's early. Yeah, what would you have on?
Oh, my daughter, Greta, had to go for footy photos and her game was at 8:30. I know.
Oh, so...
Her game was at 8:30 and they said you've got to be there 7:30 for the photos. Know, so we had to get up at 6:30 so we could be the game point. Oh, anyway, everyone's
always
just going,
happens.
Oh, please.
And you buy these photos and they never see the light of day.
$25.
And you put them in some drawer somewhere that you never ever open them.
No, we do send them.
Of course
over,
you would.
We send them over to family and stuff.
Oh, dear.
Overseas, yeah, and they love it.
Oh, I could think of nothing more boring. That's getting someone's photo.
Says more about you than it does about the photo.
I take key rings, though. I love key rings. Those pictures.
Fridge magnet?
Yeah.
Do you want the fridge magnet made up?
Or the calendar. Give me the calendar.
Bucks. That'll be an extra 20.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'd gone for the A package.
Of course you do. What was that worth?
That was 25. It was 25. There were no fridge magnets. They should do that for next year, though.
Of course they should.
Because
let them know,
I'll pay extra for fridge magnets.
Of course. Oh, you would. And they're usable. Because they are.
Yeah. Anyway, so 6:30, we get down there, and everyone's going, oh. Some people were in such a rush, they hadn't got themselves a coffee, and everyone's going, oh.
Yeah.
And I got there, and I thought, this is a bit weird, because there was no one set up for cameras. And we got there, and they said, the photographers called in and said that her car's broken down.
Bull! Hang on, let me turn on the swearometer. You could have told me.
Sorry.
You could have told
me.
You could have told me, and then I would have put fuel in the swearometer, and then you would have been able to
say, bull!
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and the other bit.
Oh, bull. Sorry.
No, the bulls. Swearing it covers the back half.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, so we're
so
all
what
just,
happened?
Oh, come on. Anyway, so they're ringing, nothing. Then eventually they get her on the phone 15 minutes before we were due to kick off. So we had to go and warm up and kick off. She said, oh, I'm sorry, the car broke down. Are we going?
Male.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did, male.
Every parent down there was going, the cars do not break down. That's not happened.
Oh, has anyone's car ever broken down?
1-3-3-5-3 for a better excuse
Chloe,
than that.
My clutch broke while I was driving. It was so bad, I scrapped the car for cash on the side of the road. And Kirst was driving in the tunnel at Sydney and her brakes failed.
Was that your excuse?
And she put her foot on the brakes. And then there was nothing.
It wouldn't have happened if she was on her way to a birthday party.
But what happened? Have you guessed what happened then? The tow truck, because, you know, you're through the NRMA, the tow truck picked the car up, and also Kirst's mum from the airport, because Kirst was going down with her mother to the air, or picking her mother up from the airport. So Kirst came back with the tow truck driver and a mother in the front cab of the tow truck. So
convenient.
So cars do break down.
I would have preferred to have her come back with an excuse like, I live on an island and I couldn't start my boat this morning. Then I would have gone, oh, okay, fair enough. My car broke down, doesn't wash.
Non-believers, that's what you are. That does happen, mate.
No, it doesn't.
So you are just too cynical.
How about I was called to an emergency on the farm next door where a horse was having a foal and they needed help delivering it.
That would have.
And you go, but see, that one's not believable. Yes, it's so unbelievable, it's believable.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Pacific Highway. Through Lisarow, Arimba, this time of the morning in the afternoon, I had the experience last Thursday, and they put the lights up there. The lights are now going.
How was your experience?
Oh, bloody awful, Robert. Don't ask me about it. Bloody nightmare.
Yeah.
Because it's where the feeder road, which is, Railway Crescent.
Railway Crescent.
Joins with Pacific Highway.
But some roadworks can seem like they are taking forever. When things like this happen and they're a bit complex, yes, causes massive impact, but with this so close to the end, seemingly so close to the end, and having such a problem still is what a lot of people are upset about.
Talking to a lady on Friday night, Janine, who lives there in Lisarow, she says, absolute nightmare. And I'm talking to a lady whose kids go to Lisarow High, and some of the classes have been delayed a little bit, especially at the first class, because buses aren't able to get to school on time. Just wanted to have a chat about this to the member for entrance, who is David Meehan, that's in his electorate. Good morning, David.
Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Rob. Hey, Paddy. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Now, I know this project, you guys, of course, you came into power because you took it on from the previous government. Mate, what's the latest you're hearing about it?
Well, look, we've still got a little way to go. And, I know it's frustrating. I live at Arimba, and I've got to navigate these new lights as well. And the lights will be recalibrated once the works finished in totality. At the moment, we're still looking at constrained lanes there. The works have got still a little bit to go. So I'm really hoping that people will notice a big difference when it's finally finished. But look, we've got a couple of months left before that happens. And you're always going to have, unfortunately, congestion when you build a road and you still want traffic to use that road at the same time you're trying to build a new road around
it.
It's just a bummer. The net effect is going to be much better though, particularly for pedestrians. I mean, a lot of people, as I said, I live in Arimba. When we built the upgrade through Arimba here, the number of people that want to get out and walk on the bigger and wider footpaths we have in the area is phenomenal. It really changes.
But David, you say pedestrians, there are 30,000 motorists who use this stretch each day. So I would be more worried about the motorists than the people who walk on the side of the roads.
Oh, yeah, look, sure. It's going to be easier for the motorists as well. And the other good thing is, unlike the previous government, we've committed to start work on the next section, which is stage four. So the current work finishes at Lisarow Shopping Centre, Parsons Road. The previous government hadn't done any work on the next bit since 2015. Now, I made an election commitment that we will restart the planning and do the detailed design for that next stage. It's going to take a little while.
Does that mean people have to go through all of this again when it moves along the road to stage four?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's unless we do it though, you'll never change it down there. And the congestion on the next stage is worse. And I know you didn't want me talking about pedestrians, but it is deadly for pedestrians in that area.
David,
you can't cross the road.
Do you think those people who are using the Pacific Highway, they're driving southbound and they're turning in to Railway Crescent, because that is a main thoroughfare. You've got Scholastic, Sarah Lee, lot of homes there. Mate, is that feeder lane, is that going to be long, big enough for to take all the traffic turning from Pacific Highway in to Railway Crescent?
Well, look, I'm assuming the engineers have done their job, but I'll get a response. Yeah. I'm happy to get a response for you.
Yeah.
But I mean, people should understand that Railway Crescent intersection, that was super dangerous. With traffic lights there, that'll make it much less, it'll make it safe.
Yeah, safety first.
But, I mean, I'll get a bit of a response for you on it, but the net effect of these works is going to really improve traffic flow and safety in that part of the coast. But we've got a long way to go.
Yep, all right. You know, okay, just so I'll tell Rob.
Just be patient, Paddy Gerard.
I'm on the case. I'm
all right, case David. And, it's just Rob was whinging about it on Friday.
Oh, God, he has not shut up, David, I tell you.
I was representing the people who've been talking to me about it.
Fair enough.
David. All right, David.
Hey, look, I've been doing it. I'll come back to you when I have an update.
All right, then.
From one representative to another.
All right, David. Member for the Edgeman. Thanks for joining us, mate. Have a good Monday. Have a good week.
Cheers, David.
All right. A bit of dilemma, Robert, I might get you to help me with, apart from the Pacific Highway there.
Yeah, it's not finished yet.
It's not finished yet, I know, but those lights
to be recalibrated, I think.
We'll wait and see. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Triple M. And it was a couple of Saturday nights ago, Rob, at Industry Group Stadium, where it was official. The Mariners through to the grand final.
In front of a packed house.
Yeah, he's one of those goals.
And now Kitto taking over down that left-hand side, loses out to Nisbet. Nkololo's stayed down. That's nicely done. Cummings driving into the area. Needs to find an option. The cutback and the goal! Sammy Silvera ignites the fireworks in Gosford. They empty the bench. They're coming from everywhere. The Mariners lead by one on the night, two in the tie, and have one foot in the grand final.
Oh, they've got both feet now, and I know the coach, Nick Montgomery, was fist-pumping then, and he's in the studio with us this morning. Coach of the Mariners, Nick Montgomery. Nick, good morning, mate.
Hey, Nick. Morning, guys. Thanks for having me this morning.
Oh,
thank you for sparing a bit of time for us. I'm sure you got a bit on.
Yeah, it's been a busy week. We train at the stadium today and tomorrow, so it's nice to pop down to the studio, see you guys. But yeah, other than that, it's a normal week, and we're going to the grand final on Saturday, so it's big week ahead, and everybody's looking forward to it.
How was it just hearing that, reliving the memories?
Yeah, good, it's stuff. Amazing. I always watch your game back, we analyse, but when you actually listen to, good sound system in here, by the way, guys, when you listen to that in here, it really does take you back to the moment, and to see that full crowd and, you know, all the families and just all the Central Coast community behind the team, and it really did help us into the final, and amazing atmosphere, and the sound was fantastic.
Yeah. Did you know last year with the boys something special?
Look, I took the job at the start of last season, and I took over half a squad that I inherited, and I brought in a lot of young players from the academy that I knew, some visa boys, and I thought last season we had a really good season. You know, we got to the FFA Cup final, missed out to Melbourne Victory and finished in the top six, and I thought we were the better team in Adelaide when we lost last year, but this year, you know, to have the full control to bring a new squad in, bring new players in. We sold a lot of good players, probably some of our best players. I knew as the season went on, we had a real good bunch of players and staff and that culture that the Mariners thrives on. So, I was under no illusions that I thought we could get to the grand final, and thankfully we have.
So you had that belief, Nick, from the start of the season. It wasn't like there was a moment during this year where you went, you know what, we can do this.
Look, I always say, you start the season, you want to win the league, you want to win the grand final and the cup, because if you start any other way, I think you're wasting your time getting out of bed every morning. So, you know, to to have them targets in mind. And you know, once we got the top six, I knew that that was our chance to go as high as we could and to finish second and clinch an Asian Cup spot was awesome, and then get to the grand final, which I believed we could, yeah.
10 years ago, 2013, when the Mariners won it, you didn't play, suspended. Oh, I shouldn't have brought that up. So it's got to be this year, Nick. It's got to be this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, I look back on 10 years ago.
He's a scumbag, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Cheers for that.
Oh, sorry if anyone didn't know.
Nah, but look, that was one of the best memories of my career. I've had some really good times in the UK, but I played every game that season, you know, to get sent off in the semi-final last minute, the first red card I ever received. Thanks, Strebre Delovsky, if he's listening to this. I knew we'd win the final. I knew we had the boys to win it and the team deserved to win it. So, yeah, it was a massive part of that season and that day. But to take the team as coach to a young team, mostly from the Mariners Academy and boys that I've spent a lot of time with, it's a really proud moment, and I'm really proud for everyone on the Central Coast as well, because it's 10 years is a long time.
Oh, too right. And like, you guys have Melbourne, it's in Sydney. You'd have to say your fans are going to back you and they're going to be there. It'll feel like a home game to you guys.
Yeah, look, if we can get the 20,000 plus in the stadium to travel down, bring one or two friends, we'll have the majority of the stadium. Melbourne City, yeah, they don't have a big home fans anyway, but I'm sure someone make the effort to travel down, and yeah, it should be an awesome atmosphere down there. It's a fantastic stadium, the Combank as well. So we're really looking forward to it.
Nick, it's unbelievable what the Central Coast Mariners have achieved over their time. Like, we look at the Socceroos and you look at like Matt Ryan, you look at like Matty Simon and even Andrew Clark, who was with the Mariners.
World Cup was the Central Coast World Cup.
It's phenomenal, the breeding ground that the Central Coast has for soccer.
Yeah, it's amazing. You look back on the history of the club, you know, right from when Laurie McInnes started the club, there's been an influx of Mariners players, not only playing overseas, but in the Socceroos. And, you know, this World Cup, we were the only team ever to have three players from one club taken to a World Cup. So that was another proud moment. But you look at the young players, Kai Rolls, one of the latest ones, and so many young players have come through the club and ended up with big careers and going on to represent the Socceroos at major tournaments. So it's, for a small club, the smallest budget, it's amazing when you look at it.
Have all the lads been texting you, previous Mariners players and coaches and officials and that? They've all been on the phone?
Yeah, most of them, the ones that like me. The ones that don't, yeah, I've not heard. There's a few I've not heard from.
Right, then.
Who are they?
I think we can all now start to dare to hope. And it is not far off now. You have got a huge week ahead of you, but we are all very much looking forward to this weekend's final.
Yeah, mate. All the best against Melbourne City FC on Saturday night. Nick Montgomery.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for your support.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Good morning, team.
Hey, Koshy. There he is. Paddy and Rob, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Mate, all I got to say is... No, don't do it, Koshy. Stay a bit longer.
No, that's very kind of you, but it's a big decision, but I think the time's right to work a bit of business hours.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Bit of flexibility in your life.
Of course, Koshy. Mate, it feels like forever ago that the network took a risk on a finance guy and put him in front of a breakfast audience. And it worked. How did you navigate that right at the very beginning?
Weirdly, well, it was all a bit surreal. The big thing we had going for us is no one watched us.
That's a bit like us now. No one listens.
And no one cared, even within the network. I think we were about 5% of the Today Show's audience, so no one gave a toss. And so they just chucked in this bloke that doesn't look or sound like a TV guy at all.
And then 5,300 shows later, he's still doing the damn thing.
Well, the thing is, they asked me to fill in part time, and it's the longest part time gig in Australian history, I reckon. It took 21 years.
It's
an absolute mistake.
Holy jeez. In that time, I did read yesterday, former Sunrise executive producer Adam Boland revealed in the tell-all memoir that John Howard still hadn't forgiven you
after a joke on air. Is that true? Is that true?
Well, funnily enough, yes. And I was going through my desk. This is how long it's been since I cleaned it out. And I found the note of apology I wrote to him and his answer. And it was back in 2007, would you believe? And it was a joke I'd told before about Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And everyone thought it was pretty funny. So I just changed the words and it went down like a lead balloon with the Prime Minister, that's for sure, who still accuses me of creating Kevin Rudd for some strange reason.
Creating him. We love creating politicians.
Oh, dear.
Mate, 20 years is such a long time. There's no way that you can just say, oh, you remember this, you remember that. But there must have been something that really stood out to you and went, this is a special moment.
Oh, there are so many. So Beaconsfield, of course, when the miners came to the surface, Todd and Brand was really special. We've been covering it and helping their families out in the lead up to that.
They came out and asked for Koshy and Mel.
yeah, they did. And Todd gave me his tag from the mine entrance that you tag in and out on. I've still got it today. It's one of the most special things that I've got. And meeting Dame Julie Andrews. I'm a massive Sound of Music nut. Uh-huh. Meeting her for the first time, I went all gooey in the legs.
So, Koshy, yes. When is it 4 weeks time that you're wrapping up, or what's the go?
No, 14, Friday next week.
Yeah, Friday next week.
And you've gone rogue, Koshy. You're giving money away willy-nilly, mate.
Yeah. I thought stuff it. I did get an email about it saying, well, you've gone outside the terms and conditions. Don't do that again. But anyhow, I thought I'd give it a go.
I love it.
And, Koshy, in your time, in your 20 years, because of tabloids, oh, they have a little bit of fun. What is the craziest thing that you've ever read about yourself? You're going, where did they come up with this?
Okay, the craziest thing I've ever read was yesterday in the Daily Mail, where they said Koshy has been hiding his hot son for years, who runs his business. Well, let me tell you, I've got three daughters as well, and AJ has been copping shit from his sisters like you cannot believe. It's like, can they see your receding hairline?
Oh, that's so good.
Okay.
So it was crazy.
So from now till next Friday, it's a wrap-up. You're just looking at the time with Koshy over the last 21 years?
Yeah. I think we'll play it. I want it pretty low key, and then on Friday next week we might do something a bit big. But business as usual. But it's all the lovely messages that I've received. It's I didn't expect any of that. So it's just lovely.
Australian institution you've been.
Absolutely,
mate.
The nostalgia will be creeping up on you, Koshy. Are you worried about absolutely bawling on the last day?
Yes, well, I even cry at Sound of Music. In fact, the kids were writing a book on the family WhatsApp to see whether I'd make it through the announcement yesterday. So Nat set me off. She's worse than me. Now,
and finally, is it the Chase Home and Away or Better Homes and Gardens you're switching to?
Well, remember, I have form with Home and Away. I have been on there before, and probably my thespian crowning glory was being a Elvis impersonator on All Saints.
We're finding out so much this morning. David Koch, thank you, mate, for everything you've done. That's a huge run in Australian TV.
Oh,
and, mate, it's so wonderful that you took time out to speak with us today.
Thanks, David.
Mate, really appreciate the call. Thanks, guys.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now and you'll never miss an episode.